Well, we're here with Tanisha Long.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Tanisha.
She just got done shooting Girl Code.
This is so weird.
Back up and running.
There should be an audience.
Girl Code's back. It's even quieter than the actual studio shoots in here.
this is really strange because there's just you two fucking staring at me.
We're
what are you
judging.
Being my boss?
We're just judging you.
That's how I feel.
I'll just stare at Ryan. That'll
it's like,
make
be
it
funny
way,
or I'll fire you, Tanisha.
Way better.
After I leave, Ryan's like, you know what? She didn't do a good job on that podcast. Let's get her off the cast.
Yeah. I think that does it.
I think that does it.
She didn't bring it today. You got to bring it every day for Ryan Lang. Otherwise, you're cut.
It's tough out there.
Yeah.
So you were on the brackets episode.
Yes.
And you didn't know anything about basketball, but you were a trooper.
I killed it.
You did.
My bracket did okay for a little bit.
For a little while. It did surprisingly well. Like, you picked some upsets based on just the cities they were from. Or the cities they weren't from that you thought they were from.
Daytona was killing it.
I feel like girls typically do better than guys in brackets.
Because they're smarter than you guys are.
You just judge outfits.
Well,
I didn't judge any outfits. Okay.
Like, is he wearing that tankini out on that court? That's cool.
That's definitely not what I did, and that's not how I sound,
right? That's your voice. That's definitely your voice.
Did you end up watching any of the basketball, Ryan?
Yeah, I'm a huge Kentucky fan.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you would have, like, been rooting for Cincinnati or...
I mean, were they even in it? They got knocked out.
They got knocked out, like, first round.
My family's from Kentucky, so I gotta support the redneck.
Got it.
And me.
I don't even know what you guys are talking about.
Kentucky's a state.
Oh, it is?
That's cool.
Also a university that has a good basketball team.
They have great fried chicken, right?
KFC. I don't know. You can't say that about me.
What?
Oh, wait.
What?
Ryan Lang, ladies and gentlemen. When's your half hour special coming out, Ryan?
It's coming out soon.
I'm excited to see it.
I'm working out some material.
Yeah, you are.
It's very deliberate.
Yeah.
Very punny. Hip-hop puns.
He's just producing it himself.
Yeah, he's going to shoot it in his office and send it to Comedy Central.
Here's how the pitch went. I was like, yo, MTV2, me for 30 minutes. And I dropped the mic and walked out.
And they fired you.
They haven't gotten back with me. But
they've greenlit everything else, though, so it must be.
That's fine.
It's got to be coming.
It's coming.
So the Guy Code viewers might not know a ton about you.
Oh, really?
Where are you from?
I'm from West Philly.
West Philly, born and raised.
Don't sing that fucking song.
Sorry.
What song was that?
It's a Fresh Prince song. Everybody sings that to me.
Wait, how's it go? I'm just kidding.
Jerk.
Never heard of it.
Does he have to be here for this?
I'm here. I'm here.
Kind of does. Do it. It's his office. Otherwise.
So you're from West Philly.
Yeah, I'm from West Philly. But like, I didn't really hang out in West Philly when I was growing up. I was like, my mom didn't let me outside because she was 200% sure I was going to get pregnant from being outside okay. And around the fresh little girls that you would call them in my neighborhood and the drug dealery guys.
The
drug dealery guys. So I hung out in the house a lot and I was kind of like a weirdo, like a little shut-in, and I'm still like that as an adult. Like, I don't like going outside.
Were
now.
You homeschooled?
No, I wasn't homeschooled, but like it was like a small, like 5-block radius I was allowed to roam before my mom's like crazy meter would go off. Where are you? Where are you? Like, she would freak out. I'm treating this like I'm doing stand-up now. I'm sorry.
It's all right. You can
I'm like talking way. Directly into it.
You're a fresh little girl now. You can do what you want.
Exactly. I'm a fresh woman. A fresh little woman.
So you grew up in Philly, but you didn't go outside very often.
No.
So then when did you finally go outside?
I guess college. I went outside.
Where'd you go to college?
I went to three. I went to, I hated them all.
Trinity?
Where did I go? All right. What was the first college I went to? I went to Penn State, Delaware County. I loved it there. I was like, this is awesome. I was doing really well. And I was like, I want to shake things up. I want to change my major to fashion merchandising because I wanted to be a buyer and a stylist. Like, I love fashion. And I switched to Drexel to do that. And little did I know, Drexel University is extremely expensive. So
You didn't Google that before you
went? No. I didn't know how much it cost. I'm not lying.
How much is your school?
I literally was like, I'm going here because my grades are good. Because like when I went to Penn State, it was a state school, and I would get like $3,000 every semester just for like housing because I had so many like scholarships and like financial aid because I was poor. It was great. But Drexel went there and they were like, why the fuck did you come here? Like the financial aid lady literally was like, why did you come here? Like you cannot afford to be
we're
here.
We're not going to give you any money.
Like you should have went, you should have stayed where you were. And I was like, but I want to do my major. So anyway, I leave Drexel to go to Philly U, which I loved and also couldn't afford to go to. And then I was just like, well, this sucks. I can't afford to go to school. So no school. So I just stopped going to school. And that's classism in America, ladies and gentlemen.
So by default, you had to become a comedian because you couldn't afford school.
Yeah, by default, I had to become a comedian. I was like, you know what? The comedian thing, it's very strange. And I feel like a lot of people dislike me for it because everything just kind of kept lining up in my life for this to happen. But I had no idea I was going to be a comedian. Like, I wasn't a kid being like, I want to be a comedian. Like, I wanted to be like a gymnast. And then very briefly, a WWF wrestler. Like, I never was transition. Like...
Why only briefly?
Huh? Because
why only briefly?
I don't know. I mean, I do again now.
You kind of still want
to. I do, but I wouldn't admit it until now. Like, now I'm comfortable with saying
word
it again.
Is out.
I'm literally going to have my agent email somebody at WWE so I can be a diva. I was thinking
how
about
do you feel it. About that?
What?
They distinguish between superstars and divas. Like, a woman
know.
Can't be a superstar.
Yeah, but they are. Like, I just... I never
who's a superstar? I haven't watched wrestling since it
they don't
was
call them
fake.
Wrestlers. I believe they call them WWE superstars. Oh, and then okay. WWE divas.
But being a diva sounds so much cooler than being a superstar. I'd be okay so. With it. Like,
it's all presumptuous that they're superstars.
Yeah.
But
I
they're,
mean,
yeah, they're all superstars, even the guys who lose all the time.
But also look at like the divas are all the divas are like really attractive and like all the guys aren't attractive. It's like the real world. Like
it's
I feel
real
like,
life.
Yeah, it's like there's tons of really hot, cool chicks walking around and there's like five hot dudes. It's just like why is it so unproportionate? And I think that's how the landscape is over there.
That's what you okay.
That has nothing to do with what
so you feel
me.
Like you just fit right in.
Yeah, I think I do a good job.
Because you're used to hanging out with like the code crew, it was not a lot of attractive guys.
No, not
all
a lot.
Attractive guys.
Do they have stage names? Is it like being a stripper?
Yeah. They have stage names.
Everybody has stage names over there.
The divas do?
Well, I think they all just go by their first names. That's what it seems like. But I wouldn't do that.
What would yours be?
I don't know. I've been thinking about that all weekend.
Specifically, this was on your mind.
It was because I was hanging out with Jeff Dye, and he was telling me how he did stuff with WWE, and he was just like, you could easily become a diva. And I was like, Jeff, don't sell me a dream like that. He was like, I swear to God, Tanisha, you could be a diva. And I was like, fuck. Girl code, like I'm gonna be a diva.
You're like fresh. My name is Fresh Little Girl.
That's exactly. It's gonna be Fresh.
Fresh Little FLG. Girl Long.
Fresh FLG, Little Girl Long. And I'll come right out here to the Fresh Prince theme, and I'll just body slam somebody.
The Fresh Prince theme might be too expensive for the WWE to license.
It will
they
be.
They could afford it.
They could afford
maybe
it.
Maybe I'll come out to that ass song by Big Sean. I really like that song this week. Go stupid. Make that mother.
Your stage name is just be Fresh Ass.
Fresh Ass. No. My mom would hate that. She would hate that. And so would my grandma.
It would be like the booty drop.
Yeah. <that's, shit. laughs> No, there's a girl that does that. There's oh, really? A diva that does a booty drop as a move. And she just like, she like falls on someone. It's so good.
I feel like that's a given. Somebody has to
somebody
do that.
Somebody has to do that. It's a bunch of girls. Like, there's no one doing a chest drop. So maybe I do a booby drop. Whatever.
We got off course. I'm still curious. When you became a comedian, though, because you said everything happens by chance, but obviously you had to start the ball rolling somehow.
Yeah, you had to get on stage at some point.
Yeah, it was really weird. So I moved to New York with a friend randomly. I moved to Jersey City on the crackiest crack block in Jersey City. So my rent was
I've been on that block.
It's the crack block. Everybody knows.
That's where I get my crack.
That's where you get your crack. And our rent was so cheap. It was like $300 a month. And the day I moved to New York, I found a job as a hostess because I have big boobs. And they'll hire any girl with big boobs to do stuff in New York. It's great. I was like, this is fantastic. And so
ladies, if you want to move to New York.
Move to New York, make sure your boobs are big.
Got it.
That's shitty. It's very shitty. That's not true.
Unless you have small boobs, unless then you can work in the fashion industry.
Yeah, exactly. They cool. don't like me in the
so,
fashion industry.
Anyway,
either way, you got boobs.
York.
This working for yeah. you.
You can just come to New York.
Yeah, just come to New York.
So you're a hostess with boobs.
Yeah, so I was a hostess, and I had a friend, and I was talking to her about like possibly doing some like acting stuff for fun. I'd like not like for any real reason. She was like, "Oh, you should take classes here." So I took a class, like an acting class. I fucking hated it so much. It was terrible. It's like this is stupid. And but I was really goofy, and we would do like these little short form improv things. And I was like, "This is fun." And my teacher's like, "Oh, you should take a short form class." So I took a short form class. She's like, "You're good at this. You should take a class at UCB." So I took an improv class at UCB, and I was like in love because I'm a nerd, and I love like things that are like artistic, but like slightly mathematic in a way, like things that have like formulas to them. And improv has like a slight formula to it. It's like playing the game of a scene. So there's like patterns that you can repeat and it'll just make people laugh, which I found like really interesting. And so I'm so I'm like nerding out about improv. And then also I'm really weird and improv people are really weird. It's so cool. And I was like, oh, I mean, even though I'm a girl in like the improv community at that time or something was really male. So it would be like the improv guys would be nice to me, but they'd also be hitting on me at the same time. And I'd be like, oh, gross. But yeah, let's hang out. But gross. No, I love nerds. I love nerdy guys.
Just not dating them.
Just not dating. No, I've dated a ton of improv guys that I shouldn't have.
You put them in the nerd zone.
The nerd zone. Yeah, that means I'm going to have sex with him. That's what the nerd zone is. He's in the nerd zone.
How are you weird, though? I feel like a lot of girls are like, I'm a total nerd.
I'm so and weird.
Like, you're on the cover of a magazine. You're not weird. You know?
I don't think weird girls can be on the cover of magazines. I think it's just that, like, when I think of other girls, like, the things I obsess over are really weird. Like, I'm obsessed with, like, the first RoboCop movie. From like, was it the late 80s?
Yeah.
Early 90s? Okay.
How'd you feel about the new, RoboCop movie?
I'm really not happy about the suit. I'm very excited that Michael Keaton is in it because I'm in love with Michael Keaton.
Did you see the movie?
No, I didn't see it yet.
All right.
I'm going to steal
it
off
go
the internet.
Watch it and then
we're going to pause come the
back.
Podcast.
Yeah.
You come back and do the podcast again.
I saw the trailer and I was really angry. It pissed me off. But either way, yeah. Like, I'm obsessed with stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I think that's weird. I think maybe I only think it's weird because I haven't found a lot of people to be besides my little brothers. Because me and my little brothers, like, we're always on the same page about that. But like guys I've dated or like female friends I've had, they're just like, okay, cool. So anyway,
when's your audition to be a diva? That's cool.
That's cool. Yeah, that's the other like that. That's why I don't ever talk about that or told anybody about that because I thought that was kind of strange that I wanted to be a wrestler.
I don't know. They got a good
it looks
product.
So fun.
They got a good product. So you're at UCB.
So I'm at UCB, and that was fun. And then I got to level two, and I was just like, this is really hard. And so I had some friends that were just like, maybe you should try at the Pit and see if you like it there. So I go there, and like my first teacher there was Kurt Braunholer, who I like love, and he's a big giant clown, and he made improv so fun. And then I was just obsessed with improv. Like I was doing improv almost every night. Like. Anywhere I could, like people would be like, oh, I'll be on my indie team. I'm like, sure. I was on like five indie teams. I was doing all these jams. I was just like, making shit up is fun.
What's an indie team?
An indie team?
Any team?
Indie team? Like an independent team?
Oh, indie
a
team.
A team that's not like a house team that a theater has put together. So yeah. Like you
they'll
start
just,
your
they'll
own.
Just play anywhere.
We'll play anywhere. We'll closet. Play in the back of a bar. Like any, it was so fun. I didn't care. Like I love doing improv. And then I got on a house team at the Pit, and that was great. And then I got, like, after that, I got moved to a different house team. And eventually they cut me from house teams because I was auditioning a ton and, like, missing all these rehearsals and, like, all this stuff. And I remember when they cut me, I was really pissed off. And then right after they cut me, like, 2 weeks later, I booked a movie, and I was like, oh, I'm not supposed to be doing that anymore. I was like, that must have been the end because I booked a movie with, like, Tina Fey and Paul Rudd. And I remember seeing that call sheet and just, like, laying on the ground and crying because I was like, okay, so, like, my career is different now. It's not me doing improv. It's me being an actor. So then, like, that happened, and I was just auditioning a ton. And I think I was still – what was I doing? I was writing a lot. I wrote two pilots, and they got into the New York Television Festival. And I wrote a bunch of sketches, and I started doing a sketch show because I was like, okay, well, what's the next step in my career? And then at that point, I was like, okay, so I'm a working comedian, I guess, because I was, like, booking little stuff here and there on MTV. And but none of it was like happening. Like I met Damien while we were shooting a pilot for MTV, and it was really fun. And they were 100% sure it was gonna get bought, and it didn't. And we were all just like, okay, boo. But like me and Damien had stayed in touch. Like we would email and stuff because he was just like blowing the fuck up, which I'm not even surprised about. He's like the nicest
DJ
person
Lemon.
In the world. He's so great. He's hilarious.
Yeah, he's great.
And apparently that's how I ended up on the show. Which
it's
is
true.
Crazy.
It's a fact.
From Damien?
Yeah, we were filming season three. Yeah, season three of Guy Code, and me and Damien were just hanging out, chatting one night, and he's like, what's up with Girl Code? Because, like, word was starting to get around. And I was like, yeah, we're casting right now if you know anybody. And he's like, check out Tanisha. Immediately, I got online right there. And I just Googled her name.
That's why your website needs to be nice. have nice pictures of yourself on there.
No, but he told me you had a lot of sketches and stuff online, and I got online and checked them out, and I was like, all right, this is pretty great. So she came in and did a audition with, I don't know if Murph was there.
Laura. It was really, yeah.
I'm trying to remember your jokes.
They were so gross. They were all disgusting.
Well, that's what the show is.
No, I remember them all being about sex, because this is what happens when I don't have sex for a while. Every joke I make is about a penis. Like, literally. Like, I tried to write some sketches a while ago. Like, actually all this, like, month. And it's just like, dick, 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 dick. Like, I might as well just be drawing dicks and showing them to people on stage. Like, here's a joke. It's like a big giant penis.
Want to check on my pilot? It's dick.
It's dicks. It's like girls, but it's a dick. Like, you know.
But you had a lot of, like, I don't know. I can't remember who they were with. They were just, like, little conversational sketches. All over YouTube. It was almost like a series.
Oh, yeah. I used to do this really silly thing where I would watch a movie and I would act it out, and I would dress up as all the characters because I was just bored in my apartment and I thought they were really funny. Like, I would watch them and be like, ha ha, I'm so stupid. And it would be like really random movies, like, I think like Jurassic Park and like just like random. I don't think I should have done Jurassic Park. No, I did like Jawbreaker or something, or like some teen movie. I just used to be really bored, and I have a box of wigs, and, you know, I had to put them to use. So that was
put on your RoboCop wig.
I never could do RoboCop. I was trying to make a hood out of aluminum foil, because that movie is so fantastic.
She respects RoboCop too much.
Oh my God.
She's also really into crafts, like making RoboCop crafts.
Making RoboCop. Yeah.
And she's also into baking.
I love baking.
She does RoboCop baking.
No, I do like baking, but I don't.
So you came in.
I like that you glazed over Tina Fey and Paul Rudd, by the way.
Oh,
how the hell did that even, like?
I auditioned for it. I
based on what you just said, it was like you were doing comedy.
You were hostessing,
like,
and then
you were like in New York for 10 minutes.
No,
just transferred from Drexel,
over, like,
and now you're on set with Tina Fey.
How? Okay, so that's spread over, that whole story that I glazed over, that's spread over like 4 years. That's probably spread over like 5 years, actually, or six. It's a really, like, there was like a lot of time where I wasn't auditioning and I was just doing improv.
Mm-hmm.
That's literally all I did. And I wasn't expecting anything from it. And I wasn't doing it because I'm like, oh, well, my agent said if I do improv, then I'll end up on Girl Code. You know, it was just like, I love this. Like, I love comedy. And I mean, I've always loved comedy. Like, growing up, I watched, you know, like SNL and In Living Color and like really weird sketch shows. Like, I would watch like The State and that show with, who is it? Mike Lee and Black and like all those weird guys, whatever.
Human
that was
I don't want to date myself too much, but... I'm a huge fan of sketch comedy, so, but I never thought I'd do it. Like, I think I never thought I'd be good enough to do it. And like, somehow, I guess I'm good. I am good. I don't know. I don't even know how to say that.
You're good at it. You're here.
I forget it. And it's like really weird to me. Like also like that I do stand up. But anyway, I'm like skipping ahead. So yeah, there was a long period of me just like trying to get better at what I was doing, just to be better at it. And somehow that turned to me auditioning for things. And one of the things I auditioned for was that movie. And I remember they sent me the whole script. Only had like 5 lines.
It was Admission, right?
Admission.
Yeah.
And I read the script. It was fantastic. It was so good. And I was like, I want this job so bad. I only had 5 lines. And I was like, 5 lines, like they're going to want you or they're not. So I didn't think anything of it. It was the first time I went to an audition and I wasn't stressed out. I kind of didn't care. So I went in and it was like, all right, good, good job.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think like 2 days later, I got a call back and I was like, what the fuck? I was like freaking out. Cause like a call back is like, we want to hire you. We're just trying to figure out if we want to hire you 100%. It's like anyone that gets called back, you have a chance of getting a job. So I was losing my shit. And then I did the callback, and the director was there, and he was super nice. I remember after I did it, I got up to leave, and he was like, good job. And he was looking at me really creepy. And I was like, did I just book this? He was just like looking me up and down. And he's like, yep, great job. Great job. Like, he was like, I think, picturing me on set or something. And I was like walking
maybe
out.
Maybe picturing
like,
you in another way. He's like, I'm
no, he wasn't. Paul Weitz is the nicest guy ever. He was so nice on set. And then, like, I think I got a call like a couple days after that. I was like, you booked the part. And I remember I was standing on like 19th and 7th Avenue. And I was like holding on to like a street light and crying. And everybody was looking at me like I was crazy. And I was just like,
I can't imagine why they were looking at you like you're crazy.
Because like And it's crazy because I never thought I'd ever work with Tina Fey or Paul Rudd because I love them so much and like idolize Tina Fey. And like I've been in love with Paul Rudd since like Clueless. So it was just ridiculous. And that was that
not
being
his bar mitzvah DJ dance.
Yeah.
Like she used to book him despite
I being did. I'd be like, we got to get Paul.
I knew it was going to be you since I saw that video. Did you get to meet them? When was the first time you met them? Was it like
it was
on set while you're...
It was literally, there was this point on set where I was like, we were about to shoot and they're like, Paul and Tina are on their way. Like I heard it on the walkies and I was like, for a minute, I was like, I can't do this. I was like, I gotta get the fuck out of here. I was like, I'm gonna cry. I'm gonna freak out. I was like, I can't. And then they got there and I was like, oh, I'm working. And all of a sudden I was like, I'm just gonna do my job. And I had to be mean to Tina Fey. Like I had to look at her and say really mean things to her. And every time I did it, I just apologized. And I would just be like, I'm so sorry. This is my job. I really like being here. I'm so happy to be working with you. She's like, no, it's fine. She's like, you're giving me a gift, like you're acting. And I was like, okay. And then we had lunch. And Paul Rudd sat with me and the other like day player actors and had lunch with us. And the whole time I was just staring at him. And in my head, I'm like, you're so beautiful. Like a creep.
Paul Rudd, first time he's ever been called beautiful.
Exactly. Like he's so handsome. Yeah, it was crazy. And I like went home and went to sleep and I was like, did that happen? Like the next day I was like, did that really happen? And then I got to see the movie in theaters. Like they had a screening for us and I like cried the whole time. I was like in there the whole time with tears on my face. I like crying.
Based on the episodes.
So you said people get mad at you because things seem to have happened so easily for you. Is that like guys you were dating or just friends?
Oh, God. Not friends. Definitely guys I dated. I was dating a guy at one point and all this stuff was happening.
He's a comedian or actor? Or?
He's a loser. he's a wannabe comedian and actor. And I hate to even talk about him because I don't want to give him any kind of shine. So I'm not going to say any specifics about him. But I will say that we dated for like not that long, actually. I think we dated for like 9 months. And all this stuff started to happen while I was dating him. And at first, when I was like super sad, Tanisha that like needed like emotional support, he was cool. And then once Tanisha is more successful than me, Tanisha, he started cheating on me. And like, I didn't find out until after.
He likes sad girls.
Yeah, he like, exactly. And he cheated on me with some girl that was like, you know, like just not doing what I was doing. And I was like, well, that's obvious like what you wanted. It would have been cool if you just would have been like, hey, this isn't working. I'm going to get a new girlfriend. So he cheated on me. And like, I was like way out of his league. He shouldn't have been dating me to begin with. All my friends told me not to date him because he's terrible. So, like, it's just, I noticed, like, while doing all this stuff, it's very hard to be in a relationship with someone unless...
It's hard for guys to be with a girl that's more successful than them.
I feel like what does that mean, though? Because it's not like he was trying to do the same thing or was.
But he was.
He was. He was trying to do the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. And he would say really mean things to me. Like, I remember one time I was going in for some voiceover thing. And he's like, you know, you're not going to book that because you don't really know what you're
so
doing.
Ridiculous.
And I'm just like, I looked at him. I was like, what is wrong with you? Like...
I just can't imagine.
All my friends were like, dump him. He's terrible. He's verbally abusive. Dump him. I'm like, no, but he loves me. And eventually I did break up with him, but it was only because he said something really mean to me. And I was like, I can't do this anymore. This is like the worst thing ever. And it's like really funny. Like when I even think back to that, I'm like, why was I dating him? It's like my whole, like when I look back at most of them, I'm like, what was I doing?
Every I feel like we were talking like about this, the whole like men feeling threatened. I feel like
it's so silly. Why
Nessa was talking about it with us too, because I mean I think a lot of women experience it.
Yeah, it's a common thing, especially in New York, because there's so many girls here. And it's like, if you want to, you can get like another hot girl that's less successful really quick or at the same time. But actually this girl wasn't hot, so they never are hotter than me, which is the thing that I'm always like, I'm like, so you cheat on me with her. Interesting.
Yeah, that is always a little weird because weird. What makes you feel better if she's hot or if she is ugly? Like oh, he cheated on me with an ugly girl, or well, at least he went hot.
I mean, I think like it makes more sense when it's a hot girl, but all the times I've been cheated on, it never is, because it's clearly like it's always like one of their friends that was always around them, and they're like, oh, she's here. Ah, I hate Tanisha. Like it's like that kind of thing. So I think that's why that happens that way. Because I don't think they're actively, like, I don't know what the fuck Max boyfriends are doing. I don't know what they're doing. I know they're all real sorry now.
Yeah.
I was going to ask about the audition process, you know, with admission. It obviously went really well. But I imagine, I mean, every stand up and every comedian that's on here, we always talk about like bombing on stage.
Oh.
And like, I imagine it's a different thing when you're auditioning for a part. Like, what's the worst audition thing that's happened, you know?
I mean, I feel like all of them are just like terrible because you don't really know how you're
doing. Or just awkward, I guess, because it's a weird.
It's not how you do the job, I think, is the thing that makes it so hard. It's like you sit in a room and there's a casting director and maybe a really good reader. Sometimes the casting director is the reader, which makes it more difficult because they're not even looking at you. They're like trying to watch a camera and look at sides that they haven't memorized because they're not an actor. So that is difficult because when you actually do the job, we're all memorized and we're doing the full scene and you get to move around and be a normal person instead of like being confined to a chair and like trying to make an eye line with someone who's not really engaged in what you're doing. So that's like the hard part of auditioning for me. And when I walk out, like I don't get nervous before or during, I'm very focused, but after like the train ride home, like I like freak out and I overjudge myself and like
you start thinking about the whole thing.
I replay it in my head like 50 times and I used to do that a lot with commercial stuff and now I literally go in for commercials and I do not care. I'm just like, all right, what is this? Nabisco? All right, blah, 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 blah. All right, good. See you later.
Most actors seem to say that that's when they start getting stuff, when they don't care, you know, and they don't overthink it. And
that's exactly what happens. That's what my commercial agent told me, because there was one point where it was like I booked in a month like three commercials or something, and he was like you must not care anymore. And I was like, no,
yeah,
I really don't. I just go in and I'm like, all right, they're gonna hire me or they're not.
Because a good audition and a bad audition can feel the same way, because they don't laugh. They just look at you. You walk out.
Yeah, and I've had ones where like they've laughed and like clapped and been like, Tanisha, you're great, we love you, and I don't get a call back, and I'm like, I want to go find those people and choke them out, you know? And it's like, you can't take any of that personal. I mean, they want to hire you. That's why you're in the room. So it's just like, if you fit, they're gonna get you. If not, then like you don't. You gotta kind of keep moving on. Also, like, I've auditioned for so much stuff at this point. Like, it's crazy. Like, if people knew, I book probably 2% of what I audition for. But, like, all everybody gets to see is what I book. So, like, that's my family's, like, super happy. And everybody I know is like, oh, you're doing so well. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I want to book more stuff. Like, I want to book more stuff.
I think
that
most actors just book more that stuff. Number.
Yeah. Like, I mean, that's especially. I'm doing really good. I'm doing really, really good. But it's like, you know, never enough, which is great, because then it just forces me to try and be a better performer.
Do you get typecast for auditions? Or, like, I feel like that when people are casting for things, there's, like, they automatically make assumptions. Like, what kind of parts do you audition for, or that you hate or love? I don't know.
I think the one that I used to go in for a lot is, like, this teenage girl from a prominent family that gets involved with a drug dealer. I swear, there was this guy. This was
very specific.
It's so specific. It's because I'm, like I guess, preppy and black in, like, a casting director's eyes. So it's like, yeah, like, she's just a smart girl that goes to a private school, and she starts dating Pookie, and then next thing you know, she's selling drugs with Pookie, and then Pookie goes to jail, and she knows where the drugs are
just
and the money,
the rush.
And then her cousin gets shot, and then they have to talk to her, and, like, there was three auditions like that, and I was like, oh, my God. But that stopped. Now I just go in for, like, a lot of mixed girl stuff, which is funny because I'm not really mixed. It's because I have curly hair, and I'm like,
what are you? Can I touch your hair?
I'm black, Ryan.
Cool.
No, you cannot touch my hair.
Let me touch your hair. Do people actually say that?
Yes, all the time.
Do they breathe deep or with their mouth open when
they
say
it? They have creepy eyes when they say it.
Okay.
They have creepy. Some people don't ask. They just do it. Like, I'm a pet.
Do girl code fans come up and ask stuff, touch your hair?
But it's usually, like, other black girls, so I don't get, like, weirded.
Wait, other black girls ask to touch your hair?
Yeah, they do, because they want to know what I'm putting in it. And I also go up to other girl code fans.
Like, not your hand oil.
Yeah.
Sweat.
Yeah. But I'm creepy to girls, too, that have natural hair. I'd be like, oh, my God, can I touch this? Ooh, what's in it? What's in your hair? Like, we're creepy to each other. Come here. I was like, look at your hair. What? Oh, my God. Girls love that. They're like, oh, really? Thank you.
I think you have an I can't. I don't know if it's aired yet or if it just aired about people asking to touch your hair.
It didn't air yet. I'm so happy. National PSA about touching my hair.
Do people ever ask to rub your head, Ryan?
It's funny. My buddy, when he started to date his now ex-girlfriend, I like went out with him to be his wingman or whatever, and she had a terrible group of friends. We ended up at some dumbass club, like Marquee. Is that that's a thing, right?
Yeah.
But I was like sitting there hating life, and her awful friends were all rubbing my head.
That's what you do when the guy with the bald head is around. You rub it.
I guess so.
Yeah.
I don't know. It seems weird when you're just not talking to him.
Yeah, that
just
is to, like, weird.
But it sounds like you were the best wingman ever because you were distracting her horrible friends while pretty, your friend was doing it.
I knew my place.
So here that, guys, you need a bald wingman.
Yeah.
Distract the girls.
I sat there drinking my liquor.
Nice.
Getting my head rubbed.
For luck.
I think at one point I did yell at the girls. I was like, just freaked. I was like, stop rubbing my head. It's weird because I'm 6'5 and they had to reach up. It's not.
They were standing and they were like.
I think they were like standing in their stupid heels at that point.
Stupid heels. You don't like those. You didn't like those.
Standing on chairs and whatnot.
Yeah.
You're 6'5", but you're not overly intimidating, so I guess they felt
like
they
could. No, he's always smiling.
Should I be more intimidating?
No.
I think you could be.
You were when I first met you. I was terrified.
People always say I'm intimidating.
I was so scared.
Why? People have said that, and I just don't understand.
Because you're like my boss. It was like at that party. We had like this holiday party for, what was it, MTV2?
Oh, yeah.
Laura's like, this is Ryan.
I think it was before we started filming.
It was before. Yeah. It was way before. And I was like, hi, and I just like ran. Like, I'm never talking to him again.
You and Shalia on stage.
We were like, we're wasted doing karaoke. I'm talking about dicks. And I was singing about dicks.
Like karaoke? I don't know what songs you're listening
to. Dickie.
No, people have said I'm intimidating, but I don't really get it.
Yeah, I'm not scared of you now. That's like, cool. Whatever. Shut up, Ryan.
Big teddy bear.
With your puns.
So, Guy Code is going to air this week. So, next week, Guy Code premiere.
Oh, yeah, 16th. Yeah.
That we might talk about some of the topics.
Yeah.
Is that good?
Tanisha's in.
I'm in Guy a sketch.
Code season 4.
I'm so excited.
Which episode is she in?
I can't remember the exact number.
What's the sketch?
It's the breakup ceremony, and it's
a little teaser, guys.
Yeah, Damian Lemon is presiding over the ceremony.
Is it Kevin? Me and Kevin breaking up with Kevin.
Tanisha and Kevin.
This is the perfect casting, because I'm always a bitter ex-girlfriend.
Spoiler
never
alert.
Never the girlfriend.
Spoiler alert, you might have burnt Kevin's favorite t-shirt.
I burnt it. Because I don't know how to say burned. Say burnt.
So the first topic is pooping.
Yep.
What?
For season 4.
Pooping. Wanted to know, do you have any pooping advice for guys?
For guys? I don't know. Guys are weird because you guys go and you like hang out. You like poop for like an hour. Like I just get in, get out. Unless I have to go through emails. And I'm like, all right, I'll go through these emails.
Have your legs ever fallen asleep?
No, I've never been in there long enough for that.
I think that's when you know. That's...
Get
that's
out of there. Why
are
you
right.
in there for so long?
No, but I've heard that that's actually why women tend to develop hemorrhoids because they rush it too fast.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I'm not
I should
even
stop
kidding.
Doing
like, that's
that.
Slow down, son.
Because girls are so worried that people are going to they're gonna go in a bathroom and they're going
to. Society did that to us, though. It's not my fault.
No, I understand. I understand. It's always society's fault. But you should slow down. Take a magazine in there or something.
I don't like hanging out in there unless I have emails to go through. Then I'll answer all my emails on the toilet. It's great.
It's like your poops are like big band. You need to be a little bit more cool jazz.
So wait a minute. Flow. When I've received emails from you, you were pooping?
Maybe. Was it in the morning?
I can't remember.
If it was in the morning, yeah. For sure. If it was before 9 a.m., yes. I work out and then I poop. Do it every morning.
So no stalkers, no your schedule.
Order. No, in that order.
In that.
It's exactly like I wake up, I make a smoothie, I work out, and then I poop. And then I take a shower.
I know what it sounds like, guys. It goes like this. Tell me if I'm wrong.
That's disgusting. I will not confirm
Tanisha
that. You don't know. No.
Wow, you are the Michael Winslow of pooping sounds.
What's wrong with you, Ryan?
I don't know. I'm just guessing.
You nailed it.
What else are we talking about on season 4?
It's closing.
Closing
is the first episode.
Yeah,
is
that mean effing girls?
No, closing means different things to different guys.
Oh, because when I hear that, I hear effing. I think effing, like no, I'm an effer.
It can mean that. It can mean that. It can mean just be getting her number. Or
pooping in front
of her, if that's what you're into.
Yo, that's pooping in front of somebody you're dating is serious shit. Like, that's how I know when shit is serious, if I can poop at your house if I haven't.
Have you ever been so serious with a guy where you pooped with the door open?
No. I would never do that. I would never. I could be married and have had this guy's kid. Well, maybe.
That means the relationship's over.
Yeah, that's. I'm never doing that. And if he ever does that, I'm going to stab him in the
Tanisha's
face.
Tanisha's pooping in your house with the door open.
I don't like you anymore. I'm trying to get rid of you.
She's dumping you.
I'm like, I know how to get rid of him.
Dumping with the door open.
Hey, babe. Can you come in here?
We're out of toilet paper.
It's like, that's disgusting. I don't want to be with you anymore.
Have you? Now, I've heard this as being in New York, it's easy. One bathroom, you have a roommate situation.
Yeah.
You're in the shower, there's an emergency with the roommate. What? Is a roommate ever coming
sounds
in?
Sounds like
pooped,
a personal story, Ryan.
Pooped by you. No.
I had a roommate one time, I was like, I really have to go to the bathroom. And I'm like, I'm in the shower. Okay, can I just pee while you're in there? Fuck you. No, leave me alone. No, you can't come in the bathroom. When I'm in the bathroom, I'm in the bathroom.
Really? What if it, like, what if they were going to shit themselves?
Nobody's going to shit themselves. I was it about happens. To get out anyway.
I've shit myself. Hey.
Well, you guys are guys. Guys do that. Girls don't do that.
I haven't. It's just for entertainment.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Maybe once.
We're starting to move on to closing. What does closing mean to girls? Do girls say, like, oh, no?
Because it's whole thing guys. Is stopping you guys from closing. And by that, I mean effing us.
It's called not closing.
It's called not closing.
Girls have to have some sort of closing.
What? No, because that's what you guys all want to do it. If a guy doesn't want to close, aka like get your number or take you out again or whatever, like that's all your responsibility. I don't have to worry about that.
Well, what if, I mean, if it was just regarded as like a success, what would a girl call that? Like,
what if some dude I liked was like, yeah, let's fucking go out again.
Here's my cell phone.
Here's my penis.
Let me text you a picture of my penis.
Oh, what do I say? I feel like I say something real stupid. I don't know.
Closing. It's called closing.
I don't call it closing.
Do guys open with the girl code thing now?
What do you mean?
Do they say, hey, I know you from girl code.
I won't date anybody that knows me from girl code. I was dating this guy recently, and he brought up girl code, and also that one of his friends liked Melanie, and I've never fucking talked to him again. This is, like, it is impossible for me to date right now because of the show. Like, it's really...
Did you hear what he did to her, Ryan?
He tried to touch her hair. Oh, what I did to her. I tried to touch her hair.
By giving you success, Ryan. Fucked up your...
No, it's great because...
I didn't give her anything. She took the opportunity.
Shut up, Ryan. Yeah, it's weird.
Wait a minute. After you started dating him, he goes, oh, I saw you on Girl Code. I like
it. No, it's like... I've been watching Girl Code... And I started watching Guy Code, and you're friends with Melanie, knowing this only from being on my Instagram. And my pictures with Melanie, like, she's been so busy. We haven't taken any pictures recently. There are pictures from, like, October when we were hanging out, like, for Halloween. And then it's like, oh, yeah, when are you guys going on vacation? I think I might go on vacation at the same time. I'm like, I just met you, dude. We're on day three. I've never tongue-kissed you. There's no reason for you to be rushing to hang out with me and my friends. So it's like.
He's like, I like the gremlins. It's cool.
Yeah, it was a gremlin following. That was pretty cool.
I've talked a lot about this with the Guy Code guys, but and not really with you ladies. But like when we're in the studio in the first couple seasons of Guy Code, they'd be like, oh, my lady's going to hear me say this. Have you ever like have ex-boyfriends hit you up like, hey, why are you talking about me?
I think the funny thing about my ex-boyfriends are they're all the same. So, like, none of them hit me up, luckily. Mm-hmm. But I feel like they've all kind of done the same terrible things to me. So, it's like when I say something about an ex, like, they would all be like, oh, it's me. That's me. I dated one of my female friends right after I broke up with her. I was kind of screwing her.
I cheated on her.
Except for the one guy who I drew and then chopped his face up. Like, he has to know that's him.
And that sketch.
Yes, and that sketch. He has to know that's him. But he knows that.
Right?
I told
him. The construction, the deli sketch. Yeah.
That was amazing. Everyone I knew who that was. They were like, oh, shit. You're still mad about that,
I can't remember
huh?
What weapon you chose.
An axe.
Was it an axe?
It was so heavy. I remember.
If anybody didn't see it. There was a sketch where the girls, it was Jessamay, Tanisha, April, and Jamie Lee. Yeah. They all went to a deli and demolished it with a demolition crew.
Yeah.
It was pretty emotional for everybody.
I felt really good.
Was it cathartic? Did you feel good afterwards?
I mean, it's funny because the entire first season, all I did was complain about that one guy. That whole, like, it was just all him. And then, like, the second season, I had lots of guys complain about. It was just easy. I was like, oh, I can talk about anybody now. This season, I think I'm going to just talk about Drake because that's really who I've been dating in my head.
And Drake talks about guys, too, so...
When does Drake talk about guys?
I don't know.
You're being a hater.
Why are you hating on Drake?
I like Drake.
He's so cute.
I don't understand why he endorses Johnny Manziel.
I don't know.
That's a little bit of a weird...
Who's that?
Can somebody explain? He's just one of the most popular quarterbacks.
Oh, my God.
Drake
sports.
Drake thinks he...
Shut the fuck up.
I feel like Drake is trying to be a sports agent now, like Jay-Z.
It's weird.
Because he's now the Toronto Raptors official ambassador.
Really?
Yeah, you haven't heard that?
I guess
he's like their.
I knew that. I know that from his Instagram. He's so cute.
Because I love Drake. I like
Champagne Poppy.
I like guys that look like thumbs.
That's his Twitter handle at Champagne Poppy.
Which is so bad.
I love him so much.
I just stare at his Instagram all day. I'm like, oh my God, Drake, stop.
What is it about Drake that girls love so much?
He's so like sad all the time about his ex-girlfriend, and that's like the dream. Like, you want all your ex-boyfriends to be like sitting at home crying about you and writing really good rap songs about how much they miss you.
So girls project themselves as the ex-girlfriend in Drake's song?
Yeah, we're like, oh my God, if Drake was that in love with me. Because it just sounds like he gets so in love and like, I've never...
Yeah, but would you want to date Drake now if he's still sad about his ex-girlfriend? You don't want to date a sad guy.
No, I don't. I'd try and make him forget about her because he's really hot.
So hear that, guys. You got to be really hot if you're going to be the sad guy.
Yeah.
Could you correlate... If Drake was a professional wrestler, who would he be?
I don't know. None of the professional wrestlers. Let me think. I mean, it'd have to be like the older ones from when I watched it. I guess the closest one would be like Shawn Michaels because he was a sexy boy and he wasn't your boy toy.
You talk about wrestling like you're Dr. Seuss. It's really weird. It's very strange.
See, I told you I was weird. You didn't believe me.
I feel like Drake could be Macho Man because Macho Man was heartbroken over Miss Elizabeth.
Oh, yeah.
True.
Maybe Drake is Macho Man.
Maybe Drake is Macho Man.
But Macho Man has just like a deep, gravelly voice. Drake sings like an angel.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you slow it down, if you're like chopped and screwed Drake, it's pretty low.
That's cute. And then Kanye is definitely Ric Flair, like for sure.
Yeah.
That's like my, like I was watching some video of Ric Flair because every once in a while I'm like, you know what would be funny? A Ric Flair video.
You're like, woo.
It's like, woo. He's such a dick. Like in his YouTube videos, he's just like, look at my glasses. They have $500. What are you wearing? My house is so big because I'm a man. And a man. It's like the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life. And he has like platinum blonde hair and a boa on and like a fucking cape. And I'm like, yes, Ric Flair.
Like that's where Kanye got his whole vibe.
Getting it from
stealing his steez.
Yeah, they should do an album together.
Which wrestler did you want? Which wrestler did you want to marry when you were a little girl?
Oh, who did I want to marry? I had a crush on the Undertaker. Is that weird? He's like dead. I loved him. He would just die. It would kill him every season.
I have a crush on the Undertaker
because he was like dead and it was cool.
What? Back up. And how is that cool that he was a dead guy?
I don't know. Look, I was a weird kid. Why don't you guys believe me when I say I was a weird kid?
No, we're learning that.
It was strange. I don't know.
The Undertaker just lost. Did you read that? He just lost last night for the very first time in like 21 WrestleManias.
Last night was WrestleMania. He lost.
Yeah.
How can he lose for the first time?
He's been in WrestleMania for like 50 years.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
But I guess that's his first loss.
Who'd he lose to?
Probably some new butthole.
I can't remember his name. I don't really follow it.
I don't know who the new guys are.
You know, I went to college with The Miz. It's a true story.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we almost got in a fight.
I thought you were going to say something about fucking Hulk Hogan.
You almost fought The Miz? Wait, you got to tell this story.
He went on The Real World, or he got cast to be on The Real World, New York City. And, he was going away, and I was, like, at the bar with, like, his ex-girlfriend. And
yeah, you were.
He wasn't happy about it. He's like, we kind of knew each other from our circle of friends. He's like, yo, Ling, you seem like a nice guy. take care of my girl. And he's like, pat me on the back. Ew. He's like, she'll come back to me when I'm back.
Ew.
And I was like, I just like gave him a thumbs up, like too close in his face.
That's Ryan's thing. That's how he pisses guys off. Here's a thumbs up real close.
I might have sprayed mustard on him. I had this thing.
It really confuses guys because he's giving him a thumbs up, like, but it's aggressive in my face.
Is he mad at me?
It's the Drake wave. Pissing me off. I think I sprayed mustard on the back of his legs.
What?
I don't know. I got really like mischievous in college. I would like grab condiments from around the bar and just like
spray people on the back of their legs.
It was
dickhead.
Then give him a big thumbs up in their face.
Wait, Ryan, can you fight? Like, you're a really big guy. Yeah, can you beat somebody up?
Yeah. Okay. I haven't been in a fight since college.
Yeah, you seem like you have a long reach in college.
Yeah. I was a big fan of the hand on the throat.
Yeah, that's a good one. Also called choking.
Yeah. Well, that and then followed by a punch.
Oh, choke punch.
I use my wings.